As we come here today, we are coming to one of the greatest, to the greatest battle that will ever be fought. And it is the culmination of the battle between Satan and God over the ages. And it really is going to culminate after this time of judgment upon this earth. It's going to culminate into here the battle of Armageddon. We're going to look at these things here this morning. First, we'll read the scripture beginning with Revelation 19, verse 11. We'll read through verse 16. So Revelation 19, verse 11, John writes what he sees as God is revealing this to him. He is getting a front row seat to see these things unfold. Of course, they haven't unfolded yet, but John got to see them as if they were unfolding. And so, in verse 11, John says, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer here this morning. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for these things you have revealed to us in your word. And as we study, as we open these things this morning to look at them, I pray that you would be our teacher. Heavenly Father, I yield myself to you. I pray that the Holy Spirit would fill me and direct my words, and that you might be lifted up, that you might be glorified, that you'd help me to say what would please you, and to not say those things that would not be in your will. And Father, that you would just guide in the message. Lord, we pray that you'd stir our hearts, and you'd help us to see the battle raging through the ages. And Lord, help us to understand the victory. Lord, we thank you for this. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. The Battle of Armageddon. The great battle of the ages. You certainly hear Armageddon being referred to many times as some big event or some monumental thing. But you know what? There is a battle. The scripture refers to here is the battle that will take place in Armageddon. And we'll look at that here in a moment. But I want you to see in verse 11, the Bible says, here is John's perspective. It's almost now John is back on earth, and from his perspective, he sees heaven opened, and he sees the Lord Jesus coming on a white horse, riding through the clouds, if you will, and coming to this earth. And with him, following him, is the great host of the church, of believers, who are on white horses as well, in fine linen, white and clean, which of course pictures the righteousness of saints. You can look back at verse number 8 to see that. It says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, the righteousness of the saints isn't that the saints were so good, that the saints had done so much good, but the righteousness of the saints is Jesus in us. It is the righteousness of Christ, for when a man, when a woman, when a child trust Jesus as their Savior, when they put their self in Jesus' hands, depending on him to save them, there's an exchange that takes place. Just like if a righteous person, a good, a honest person exchanged their good record with a criminal who was on death row, and they changed places. And the innocent, the righteous, took the sentence of death. And that one who had done the crime was freed and liberated and cleared. And in fact, their identities were switched. And you know, that is what Jesus did for us. He gave us His righteousness. And that is our clothing. As we see here, the believers, the church, we are clothed in this beautiful white fine linen, which pictures the righteousness of Christ in which we are clothed in. Well, the Bible tells us here about this one that John sees. Not only does he see him coming on a white horse, but it says he saw he that sat upon him, middle of verse 11, was called Faithful and True. Oh, and all of the lies and corruption we see going on, we've seen it in years past, but we see it right up in our day, in our land, in our nation. We see lies and corruption and truth being exchanged, truth and that which is good being ridiculed and put in the category of vile and bad. And we see bad things, truly corrupt things, being held up as if they are good and the best. We see that exchange. But I'll tell you what, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, the one who will come on that white horse, His name is Faithful. He is the epitome of faithfulness. And He is true. You want to find someone who is true, someone who will keep their word always. You will find none other as faithful and true as our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is faithful and true. And so John sees Him who is called Faithful and True. And it says, in righteousness He doth judge and make war. We have a lot of judgment going on today. But it's not judgment based on righteousness. It's a lot of corrupt judgment, crooked judgment. But when Jesus comes to judge, it will be right judgment. He will come in righteousness, it says, to judge and make war. There is a battle to fight, and Jesus is going to personally come and fight that battle here in the end times. I want you to notice verse 12 as John sees the one here riding this white horse. He's not only the faithful and true one, the one who judges in righteousness, but it says in verse 12 that His eyes were as a flame of fire. A flame of fire. I mean, His eyes just, they were penetrating. They could see right through you. Nothing was hid from the eyes of the Lord Jesus. With accuracy, with consistency, with faithfulness, with full knowledge, He will come. His eyes are as a flame of fire. This is a similar description to how John saw Him in chapter 1 of the beginning of this book. But we see it continuing on. It says, and on His head were many crowns. Now, of course, the descriptions of the devil, that great dragon, and the descriptions of the Antichrist, they had the heads or the horns, and there were crowns and all this kind of thing. Well, I'll tell you what, Jesus here is described with one head and having many crowns. He is the crowned with many crowns. He has all authority. He is King of kings. He's not just one of the kings. He is not just a Lord. He is the Lord. He is the Lord of lords. And the Bible describes Him. John sees Him as crowned with many crowns. All authority is upon Him. And we notice that He has an exclusive, incalculable name. Notice the end of verse 12. And it says, and He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. An incalculable name. He comes in righteousness to judge. This is the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is when he comes to this earth, literally, to rule and to reign. It describes him a little further as we'll get into verse 13. It says, and he was clothed with a vesture. His garment here, it says, was dipped in blood. We could even say baptized in blood. It was fully immersed in blood. What is the picture here? Well, we know that the scripture teaches us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. God has given it to us to make an atonement. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Jesus himself gave his own blood. The blood is essential. It is important. And Jesus comes here in this red garment that is, the Bible describes as dipped in blood. Now he's coming and going to shed much blood on this earth, as we will see in the following verses, as he engages with the wicked. But you know what? And blood will no doubt be splattered upon his garment, but John sees him already as he comes on the white horse with this red blood-dipped garment. And his name, there's no doubt who this is. This faithful and true one, he is the Word of God. The Word of God. John, in the Gospel of John, loved to describe Jesus with a name, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh, John 1:14, and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, here's the Word of God coming on a white horse, coming to judge and make war. These are future events. I want you to notice here a couple of aspects. First of all, I want you to notice the two sides. The two sides in this battle. We can see here really the wicked and the holy. The wicked and the holy being judged. The two sides, the wicked being judged. Let's notice here, if you will, verse 19. We'll jump forward and notice the wicked here. It says, verse 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their names gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. The beast here in verse 19 is the Antichrist, very clearly. I saw the Antichrist and, notice who else, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war. Here is the kingdoms of this world. Here, after the tribulation period, we'll look at that chart in just a little moment here, but we see the wicked gathered together, the corrupt people of this earth, the kings of the earth, the kingdoms of this earth. They're gathering together under Antichrist's leadership, really going all the way back to the devil's influence and leadership. Ultimately, they're under the devil's command. That's clear if we were to take more time to look at this. But the wicked, those who have hated God, those who have rebelled against God, and those who have taken the mark of the beast, those who have, in the tribulation period, have given their allegiance to Antichrist and to Satan, ultimately, they are waging war against God. And this is a massive, massive gathering of all the different kings of the earth and their armies. This is a gathering of millions. Millions, no doubt, fighting against God. I want you to notice a few other scriptures. Chapter 16 of Revelation. Please look at verse 13. Chapter 16, verse 13. The Bible says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. That's Satan, and out of the mouth of the beast, that's the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, that's the false prophet, this unholy trinity. And John says, I saw these unclean spirits, these three unclean spirits come out of each of these persons, of verse 14, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth, listen carefully, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So through deception, notice it says they're working miracles, verse 14. They're working miracles, and through this, these wicked spirits of the devil, of Antichrist, of the false prophet, are rallying the kings of the earth, the kingdoms of the whole world, it says, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. The great day of God Almighty. This day is also called the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. Now let's notice here, if you go to the book of Jude, Jude is right before Revelation. It's very short, only the one chapter. And I want you to read a couple of verses from Jude. Jude verse 14. I will begin. Jude verse 14. The Bible says, it says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam." In other words, in generations, he was the seventh from Adam. And it says, "Enoch prophesied of these things, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all." This is talking about the event we're studying right now, the Battle of Armageddon. "And when the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Do you get the idea there in verse 15 that the people that Jesus will come to judge are the ungodly? They are ungodly. It is the wicked. We see the two sides. First of all, the wicked are the ones who God will judge. Those who are following Satan, that rebel, that wicked one. And then are the holy, the holy. Come back, if you will. Well, notice, it says the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. 10,000s of his saints. Here are the redeemed of Christ that are coming with him, the holy, the saints. And notice back in chapter 19, of Revelation, we'll look at verse 14, chapter 19, and verse number 14, the Bible says, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." The armies which were in heaven. You know, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you will be in this assembly, in this army. This will be an awesome, awesome a time which is coming, where we as the saints will come with our Savior and will come to this earth, and He will set things straight. He will make wrongs right. He will cleanse the planet of all vileness, of wickedness. This day, the great battle of Armageddon, the great day of God Almighty, the day of the Lord, it will come. It will come as a thief in the night. Well, he will come to bring destruction to the wicked. The sides of the battle. Well, let's see the location. Well, I missed one verse. Let me read it for you. It's a passage, actually, I wanted to read. Oh, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. I wanted to share this. I like to bring other scriptures together. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And if you'll notice, we'll begin with verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." here is speaking of the second coming of Christ. When he comes, it says here, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And so we have the sides. But where will this all happen? Where will this take place? The Bible gives a location in Revelation 16. Revelation chapter 16. I'm going to keep you turning here this morning because I do have several scriptures I want to take you to. In Revelation 16, we have read verse 14 just recently. I'll read the end of it. It says, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Verse 15 says, behold, I come as a thief, Jesus says. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Armageddon, the valley or the mount of Megiddo. Notice here we have a picture here and a map. This is the Jezreel Valley. This is Megiddo. And you can see how that comes in perspective there, north of Jerusalem a ways. And this seems to be the location of where the Lord will have this great battle. Now the Bible does tell us that when he returns, he's going to set his feet on the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives is going to split apart and there's going to be a great valley. The Mount of Olives is in Jerusalem. It's right adjacent to the city. And so this is a little ways from there. And I think it's very likely that a whole valley is going to be opened up clear all the way to this region, and I'll point that out in a little bit. But you can see the location of this great battle, the Battle of Armageddon, in the mount or the valley of Megiddo. I want you to see the weaponry employed in this great battle. On the part of the wicked, the Bible doesn't say a lot about what weaponry they will have. I believe it will obviously be the best that mankind can put together. The armies of the world, the kingdoms of this world, will assemble their greatest military might, without doubt. The best that man can offer. They are gathered together. Revelation 19, verse 19 says, they're gathered together to make war. They are prepared for battle. They come with man's military might. In Revelation 11, verse 18, the Bible tells us that the nations were angry. They are angry against God. They are spitfire and mad, and they are attacking the people of God, the Jewish people, and that's why they assemble here in the Holy Land. Now, on the part of the soldiers of the Lord, led by the Lord Jesus Christ, what will our weaponry be? The Bible tells us here that in chapter 19 of Revelation, let's notice it, beginning with verse 14, the Bible says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Verse 15, and it says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. It says here that there goeth out of his mouth a sharp sword. This is the word of God. I think that this is literally a sword coming from his mouth in the sense of a sharp instrument like that, but it is the word of God. It is the word of God, and there's numerous other scriptures that point to this as well. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says here, it says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Here it says he will consume that wicked, speaking of the Antichrist, with the spirit of his mouth. He will speak the word, and the wicked will be destroyed. They will be slain with the word of God. consider Isaiah chapter 11, about the middle of the Bible. The book of Isaiah and chapter 11 is an important chapter. I'd like you to look there if you would. We'll look at verses, well, the first five verses. Isaiah 11, noticing verse number 1. The Bible says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." Of course, this is speaking of Jesus. "And the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears." Now we get to the battle of Armageddon, verse 4 and verse 5. Notice what it says. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth." What is the weaponry? It is the word of God. He will smite with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Verse 5, "And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." Here, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will slay the wicked with the words of his mouth. This is the weaponry. We will not have to do a thing as the children of God, as the army of God, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4, verse 12. The Bible also tells us about how the world was created. It was created by the word of God. God spoke the world into existence in Genesis. The Bible tells us that we are saved by the word of God. 1 Peter 1, verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." We are born again by the word of God. By the word of God, we can avoid sin. Jesus did. In Matthew 4, it records how that he was tempted of the devil, but every time he answered, "It is written," and he quoted the word of God. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 119, verse 11, it said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." It is by the word of God we can avoid sin. But it is by the word of God that the wicked will be slain. He will speak it, and their blood will be spilt. The weapons. Let's consider the casualties of the battle of Armageddon. The casualties. On the part of the holy, God's people, there is no record of even the slightest wound. None. Zero casualties, zero injuries on the part of God's holy people. But on the part of the wicked, it will be complete and utter destruction. Consider here in chapter 19 of our book, Revelation. It says here, beginning with verse 20, 19 verse 20, it says, "And the beast was taken." That's the Antichrist. It says, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant," verse 21, "were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh." Utter destruction to the wicked. This is literal. This will happen. Notice back in this same passage, verse 17. John sees an angel here in verse 17 standing in the sun. It says, and he's crying with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls, all the birds, the vultures that fly in the midst of heaven. And he says, "Come, come, gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God." The carnage will be so great An angel here is John sees an angel beckoning the birds of heaven to come and dine on the flesh. It says in verse 18, the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men. Can you consider the armies of the world gathered together in hatred against God? And there Jesus will return to the Mount of Olives, and it will split apart, and a great valley will be opened up, and he will make his way there, and he will engage in battle on that white horse with the armies of heaven, us following, gathered with him, and he will speak the word, and Antichrist will be taken out and placed into the lake of fire. The false prophet will be taken, and then all others, all the kings and the captains, the mighty men of the earth will be slain, and their blood will be spilt on this earth. Revelation chapter 14, verse 20 describes this battle with a bit of an allegory. And it says in verse 20, speaking the allegory of a wine press where grapes would be squashed and the juice squeezed from the grapes. It is a picture of this battle. And it says in Revelation 14, verse 20, and the wine press was trodden without the city, and the blood came out of the wine press even unto the horse bridles. That's got to be about 3 feet deep. Came even unto the horse bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. This is 185 miles long. A 185 mile long river of blood. The slain. This is the greatest, gruesomest battle there will ever be. The casualties. It is in righteousness he will judge. This will happen. And so we see the casualties. And that's why I believe the 185 miles long, that's why I believe that as he sets his feet on the Mount of Olives and it parts, that there's going to be a greater, longer valley opened up than just the current day valleys of that region. What is the timing of this future battle? Well, let's look at the chart here and notice the timing. We're talking here, we've been studying in the book of Revelation about the tribulation years, those 7 years. Well, this is right at the end of the tribulation. The day of the Lord will come, and here it will come at the end of the tribulation period, right before the millennial kingdom. The rapture takes place before the tribulation, and we return with him to set up the millennial kingdom, but this great battle of Armageddon takes place first. Here is the timing. You can notice following these events in Revelation 19, verse 15, it says, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. This is speaking of the millennial reign. Skip forward to chapter 20 of Revelation and verse 2. It says, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Cast him, verse 3, into the bottomless pit, that he should deceive the nations no more. Friends, we are not in the millennial kingdom. Not yet. Satan is not yet bound. Peter wrote about him like he's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. We are not in the millennial kingdom. Oh, no. Not yet. These events are all future. Satan will be bound. He will not be able to deceive the nations for those 1,000 years. Verse 4, end of the verse, it says, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's the redeemed of the Lord. So we see the timing of this battle. Lastly, I want you to notice the victor. The victor. Clearly, it is the Lord Jesus Christ and his saints, hands down. The Lord Jesus Christ and his saints. God is giving us here the telling of the future. And he's saying, this is what will happen. This is how it will unfold. And we win. The redeemed of the Lord win. Our Savior Jesus Christ will lead us. And wickedness will be defeated utterly. And he will reign on this earth. And we will reign with him. Do you know my Jesus? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? The only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Wow. There's a tremendous passage. I'm going to have to abbreviate it a little bit, but in Zechariah, I'll close with this passage. Zechariah is just a couple of pages back from Matthew. Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, back up into the Old Testament to Zechariah chapter 14. This is an amazing passage of prophecy, Zechariah 14. It's talking here about these things. And I'll begin with verse 1, Zechariah 14, verse 1. It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle." And verse 4, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley." And I'm going to continue down. Actually, to verse 16, I'm going to have to go down to verse 16. "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." I want you to notice that there will be few people left on planet Earth. There will be few. Verse 16 says, after the Battle of Armageddon and in the beginning of the Millennial Kingdom, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the Lord in Jerusalem. But I want you to notice that there are few left. There will be some after the battle left. I believe it will be those who have not received the mark of the beast, and some who, even in those times, believe on the Lord. So, the great battle of Armageddon. There's so much more that could be said. There's much more scripture that could be cited. This day of this great battle, the great day of the Lord, is coming. It is coming. It's future. It's not the next event on God's calendar. The next event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church, and then the ensuing 7 years of tribulation that most of the book of Revelation talks about. But we come here, as we come to the end of the book, we find the detail of this great battle of Armageddon. I hope that helps you understand it a little more. And, great joy there is in the victory. Our righteous Lord will bring righteousness. He will rule in righteousness on this earth in that coming millennial kingdom.